Hello, Vol Nation. Coach Fulmer here. We have been working like heck, and we are ready. I'm confident we will be playing football in Neyland Stadium this fall. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay strong.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
So everybody has waited all offseason for this moment to hear that it's game night. It's time for Tennessee football. And when the Pride of the Southland Band forms that famed tee, you are swimming in Southern college football pageantry.
The balls are back. And before long, we'll be taking a bite out of everybody we play's ass. Thank you very much.
There was a time and place that this university was feared. My goal is to get us back.
Since 1974, I know what the University of Tennessee and the great fan base here is about. I know that. When people talk about Rocky Top, I know what they're talking about.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no plans of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Three and Out begins now. Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Shticky, Will Stevens, safe and sound after a jump start in the rain.
Yeah, my bad, guys.
It happens. I had a feeling something was going to happen weird today. All this rain, I figured it'd be a little bit of a late start. Didn't expect a dead battery necessarily. It happened. What did you say you did? You left?
So last night I went outside to grab my aux cord to be able to record my laptop or my keyboard on my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And left my door cracked.
Cracked. So the interior light stayed on. Yeah, I got you. I got you. That adds up. Davey, how are we feeling this morning?
Awful.
Good. Wouldn't have it any other way.
The sinus infection is winning.
Is it really a sinus infection or just allergies, maybe? No one really knows for sure.
I don't know, but I do know for a fact that every year, the last week of October, all the way up until Thanksgiving, I have a sinus infection every year. I also get one around Easter, and it's just due to the change in weather. And we struggle to get through it, but we'll persevere.
Sounds like you're allergic to family events, not the seasons.
Family events. Oh.
Thanksgiving, Easter, Halloween.
See, like, Thanksgiving's one of my favorite holidays. It's like that's the one I want to feel the best for, just because I'm about to eat a bunch of food and watch a bunch of football.
It's fair. Thanksgiving's a great holiday.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's good. Nothing wrong with Thanksgiving.
I'd like to get to some Halloween talk since tomorrow's Friday and we'll probably be spending it talking mostly about football. So just kind of move that up a little bit. Just in general.
What are you going as, Davey? What's your go-to costume?
I'm not dressing up. I'm just going to go to bed.
Are you too big and proud?
No, I've dressed up before. It's just.
Then what exactly did you want to talk about regarding Halloween?
Let's talk about Halloween. I'm not celebrating though.
Reminisce on like, oh, this was the good candies to get.
You guys can give me advice on which houses to hit. And
wait, you can't go.
It's a joke.
Yeah, you can't go trick or treating, man.
Well, I don't think people are going to be doing it at their houses this year, right?
I don't know. Is Halloween canceled? Have they canceled Halloween because they don't want people touching candy that other people have touched?
I mean, I know that Philadelphia came out yesterday, and their mayor of health or whatever you call them in Philadelphia said that they want to not have Thanksgiving or Christmas celebrations. I believe that included Halloween as well.
They can go believe themselves.
It's Philadelphia.
Man, that's...
They shouldn't gather anyways,
what,
in
Newsom,
general.
Didn't Newsom or... No, maybe it's... I'm sure he said something, but I think Fauci also said, like, yeah, folks might have to bite the bullet on getting together with family for the holidays this year. And I'm just like, yeah, okay.
Wait, what do you, like, just not do it?
Yeah, like, just not get
together with
family. I
feel like
a lot, I get behind that.
A lot of people are probably like, oh dang, yeah. You know, oh,
rats.
Man. Hey, Mom, sorry, not going to be able to make it this year. Honey, you live right down the street. No, it's
COVID.
Just, yeah, COVID. You've been here every day this week. Yeah, but, you know.
It's different.
Uncle Frank's coming in, and I don't know where that guy's been. I just, it's got to take care of the kids. Speaking of kids, Knox County on a two-hour rain delay this morning because, well, we're in a hurricane. It's ridiculous out there. Stay safe. I was worried about Will. I was worried he'd be speeding in after a little bit of a late start.
I don't speed. I don't break the law.
I'm
a law-abiding citizen.
That's good.
When I was driving in, I realized, I was like, oh, hell yeah. I won't have to worry about getting stuck behind the school bus today. But the garbage truck actually got in the way.
So. Those guys don't take days off, man. They work hard.
There's a big pond on Kingston Pike. I hit it. It was nice.
Sounds about right. Did you hydroplane?
No, I didn't hydroplane.
He wasn't speeding. He was going slow. He's being safe, being smart. Did you know that this Halloween is the first full moon on a Halloween since 1944?
Ooh, spooky.
It is kind of spooky, really.
Wasn't that World War II?
Yes.
It's a long time ago.
It is a long time ago, yes. Very good, though, on the knowing the years of World War II, or at least the relative time frame. That's good.
It ended right after that in 45.
That's correct, yes. Look at you.
Look at you. Brains on Will.
Yeah. Do you know when the United States officially entered World War II?
Oh, that would be 1943?
No.
1941.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
December 7th, 1941.
A date that will live in infamy.
Oh, very good.
To the troops? Really?
Wow.
What?
You're going to pop the top on the
troops? You just pop the top on the troops?
Pour one out.
Jeez, it's a little dark, man. Talking about Pearl Harbor and you got to just eat. Drink your peach mango adrenaline shot.
It kind of goes
too soon.
Yeah, man. Like, come on.
It kind of goes with the Halloween talk, though, because like we could go as ghosts or anything we really want to. I'm going as someone who's way too early.
It's a terrible joke.
What is?
I'm gonna wear a Christmas suit and I'm gonna show up to the event 2 hours early.
Dude, I don't know what with those glasses. Just put a fake mustache on and go as Bernie
Sanders.
Oh boy.
God bless. No.
You ever seen Weekend at Bernie's?
Oh. You could have said that.
I said those glasses.
Those glasses is pretty telling. But you're young.
Have you seen
Bernie Sanders wears glasses.
Not sunglasses.
He doesn't wear sunglasses inside. It's 7 a.m. when it's like pitch black outside.
Yeah, Will has worn these sunglasses to the show every day since he got them.
I haven't been caught off camera since I've got them. Besides like Ice Bra.
That's true. You didn't wear them the whole time for Ice Bro.
But no, I mean, it's a drip. It's Driptober. Gotta embrace the drip for the rest of the season.
All 2 days of it.
All 2 days
after today.
I think I'm going to keep them. I think I'm just going to be a sunglass guy.
And you chose those?
I didn't choose these. These chose me.
It's like a Harry Potter wand. Like that. They were just like, yep, we belong to Will now.
No, genuinely, I did not order these. They showed up on my doorstep in some Asian packaging, and I could not read the return postage label or anything.
Wait. So you stole these?
No. I just didn't know who they were addressed to, but they showed up on my doorstep, and I wasn't going to put the effort into getting them back.
You couldn't see who they were delivered to?
No, it was in a different language, man. It was a weird day, but I kept them. I kept my eye on them.
They could be cursed. It could be this could be the start of a really bad horror movie.
They could be blessed.
I don't know, man. You got them like what? At the beginning of October?
No.
First full moon in 44 years?
I got these in like June.
I feel like it feels like a setup for a horror movie. Like, oh yeah, these sunglasses showed up and I've been wearing them all the time. They're so cool. First full moon on a Halloween since 1944. Cursed sunglasses. You wear them all the time. I mean, you did get Ice Bra.
I did.
You hated Ice Bra. You hated it. What happened this morning? Your car was dead, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do? Like, how do
you? Yeah, you gotta chuck them. But you gotta be smart about it, man.
No, you can't just chuck them. No, I cannot chuck these.
Yeah, you.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, then just live cursed. It's fine. You're gonna be a cursed man the rest of your life until you get rid of those sunglasses. But how you get rid of them matters. Like, you might have to burn them. You might have to throw them in the lake. You might have to play a game with a couple kids until you beat it.
My head's going to be broken the whole entire show now. I can't throw these glasses away.
Okay. Well, then you'll suffer the consequences. That's just the way it works with cursed things.
Before I needed prescription glasses, I was really big into the 1980s Wayfair
sunglasses.
Ray-Ban style.
Yeah.
That was my style.
Like the ones in Top Gun, like the big No, those are aviators. So you're okay. I know the ones you're talking
eighth
about.
Eighth grade, I was like big into the aviators.
Aviators, big aviators.
Aviators, yeah.
Dave. Okay.
Yeah.
That's actually not bad.
If you have a name you can make puns with, like, go ahead. Like, Will doesn't really go with anything because it's already a word. Houston, you're really only a city, but like Davey can do some things with his name.
Yeah. Like Biscuits and Davey. Boom. Boom. That'd be a good podcast name. Just saying, for the future.
We're talking biscuits or cookies?
Depends on who's listening. Yeah. Cross Ponder over here, huh?
This is random, but I had to make a call to a company the other day that's located in London, and I'm really bad about trying to match accents at times, not intentionally.
So, like, you'll try to do an English accent, and you'll do, like, an Australian or even worse?
You just like harmony. When you're singing to a song, you want to match the same notes. When you're talking to someone, you want to match their accent.
Oh, I did that. When I lived in New York for a summer, I came back, and people were like, who are you? I was like, oh, I'm driving over there. Like, they had it's a very weird small-town accent up there.
I can't say the company's name. Like, there's nothing against it, but I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about it. But her name was Laura. She said, oh, hello, I'm Laura. How may I be of service for you today? And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then I actually, when I had to catch myself midway through my sentence and then go from, like, really British to country just to try to not make look like I was mocking her because she knew I was.
That's an interesting change.
It was very
hard,
and I don't think I could do it right now. It's one of those, like, you got to be in the moment.
I think that's what Australian is, right? Isn't Australian just essentially a country British accent?
Well, they're prisoners.
Right.
They're all horrible people.
I don't know about that.
Bit of a stretch.
You ever been to Australia?
I was supposed to go on my senior trip, but it got lit on fire.
Oh.
Yeah, we canceled. Then I was supposed to go to New York, and then COVID.
Didn't you? Where did you say those glasses came from?
China.
Around,
I assume. That's
around
actually,
what time?
That's actually really racist to me. It was just in an Asian language I couldn't read.
So, Asia.
Could have been Taiwan.
Could have been Korea.
Didn't you? And you've had corona twice, you think?
I know I've had it once. I think I got a false positive antibody test. I think I'm just Nick Saban.
Do you think the glasses might have had anything to do with this? Just as we pile things on to what has happened to you since you got these glasses?
Honestly, I was thinking about it. And
didn't the bottom of your car get ripped off?
Yeah. That was on me, though. Actually, no, that was more on whoever's election sign was out, which I'm not going to say their name because I don't want to give them free plug.
Election sign?
Yeah, that's what I ran over.
Was it in their yard?
No. It was in the road.
Oh, okay.
Next to a polling place of a school. But
so election signs are flying under your car. Batteries are dying. You've had COVID.
Man, I don't think it's the glasses. I think the glasses, honestly, become a little bit more like down with sharing and stuff. So like, I think they might be reprogramming my brain to like communism. But other than that, I'm good.
Sharing. Communism. Yeah. Quite the...
I don't think there's like a series of bad events coming towards me because of these glasses. Davey's looking at me sideways.
We just gave you the series has
That's
already
life,
begun.
Man. That's life.
Huh.
Like I don't know a lot about you because I kind of like am an open book. You're a closed door. But like I'm sure bad things happen to you. You drop knives on your feet and hook your finger all the time. You had to eat pig's feet. You don't think life's screwing you too, Houston? You think you're so special?
Maybe it's the sunglasses. Maybe it's a curse that everybody is having to deal with. I mean, look, Davey's sick. Nate's in hell. That's what
he said.
Not he,
very
said
nice
he said
to say
that.
About California.
He said that. He said that. Well, it's on fire.
That's a good point. I don't know. I mean, I think Davey might just be having repercussions from COVID. Like, he could be getting the mitochondria heart disease that they have.
That's a part of a cell.
The powerhouse.
Mitocarditis.
I know
what you're referring to.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
And you bring
to.
That up, and actually there's been cardiologists that have come out and said that there have been so few issues.
Yeah, they're done doing the heart testing now.
Yeah, it's better off just not to even bother to put
waste
the players
the time.
Through it.
Well, that actually leads us to a topic I wanted to discuss. I not to brag. I called this the Big Ten's in serious trouble.
You never can get that right.
I know, I do it every time. The Big Ten's in trouble. The outbreak at Wisconsin has now led to a cancellation and a shutdown of Wisconsin football. The game will not be made up. The game will not be rescheduled.
Wisconsin this weekend is supposed to play
Nebraska.
But yeah, this will not be a postponement. It is a pure cancellation.
I have a lot of thoughts, We said this when they initially did it. We read through what the protocols were. If a player tests positive, if a certain percentage of your team is testing positive, I still don't understand what the Big 12 was thinking. But 10. Now, God, every single time, it's just numbers, and they have odd numbers in them. It's just bad. It's bad. The Big 10.
10 in the Big Kevin 12, Warren. 14 in the Big 10.
Yep, makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to discuss that. Also, Jeremy Pruitt had some things to say yesterday in a little media session. A couple players also spoke about kind of what's going on with Tennessee football. They have continued the night scrimmages for the young players, trying to get some fresh meat on the field. And a couple things kind of irked me, Davey, coming out of the presser. The ball calls. The commentary. Yeah, there were a couple things last night that just makes you say, that and more. Welcome back to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. If you want to hop on the show today, 865-546-8200 to join the G3 Help Me hotlines. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3helpme.com for your free consultation or give them a call, 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team go to work for you and get you the money you deserve. That's g3helpme.com, the G3 Help Me hotlines. Phone number, 865-546-8200. It happened again yesterday, old Dave, Jeremy Pruitt. This is what happens, right? You win a lot of games. What you say in the press conference doesn't really matter. You start to lose a little bit, and people want to dissect each and every word ad nauseum.
And I know we're about to get into the context of his comments, and what I wanted to add was, you know, on their face, I don't think these comments are necessarily that egregious by any stretch of the imagination, and it's typical coach speak, but what I do consider is how things have gone lately. It's not a good look, at least in my opinion. And that, I mean, everyone else is going to have their thoughts on the matter, but just at least from my perspective, I was like, I would have tried to avoid some of these comments.
And it's not necessarily true. It might be. He might just want to be saying these things to, you know, not talk about anything specific. But yesterday, I believe this was on Vol Calls, is that correct? Jeremy Pruitt was asked about prepping for Arkansas, and he said basically at this point they haven't really worked on Arkansas. They've been focusing on fixing Tennessee. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, typically you have kind of a game plan for each team before the season. That's one of the things the coaches do in the summer is they're watching tape, they're breaking stuff down. Okay, they got Kendall Briles. What does Kendall Briles like to do? Oh, they got Barry Odom. What does Barry Odom like to do? And then you kind of make little changes and adjustments as you see film from the current season. But it is a little strange that he would say we haven't worked on Arkansas at all.
Yeah,
but I also think, in a way, I mean, Tennessee has been Tennessee's own worst enemy,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, you look at the second half against Georgia. I don't think that was a game plan issue. That was a quarterback issue. You look at the first half against Kentucky. Again, not necessarily a game plan issue. That is a we need to fix us issue. Bama's Bama. It's a little bit different. I don't think he's necessarily wrong that if Tennessee can take care of Tennessee going into the Arkansas game, they're obviously going to have a game plan. They're obviously going to prep for Arkansas. They're going to be studying Arkansas film. They're going to be breaking it all down. As long as they can fix some of the problems that have popped up their head lately, focusing on Tennessee doesn't sound like that bad of an idea if you're Jeremy Pruitt.
The exact quote was, "We have worked very little on Arkansas, if any. We got to fix us before we start worrying about somebody else." And the big thing for me was I look at that Alabama game, and it looks like the only game plan was to get in and get out.
Mm-hmm.
It was how fast can we end this game and not make it look bad? We're not going to have a plan to win. And people are going to say, well, of course he went in there with a game plan to win. It's like, well, if he did, they didn't show it. I mean, whenever you're only down three scores in a game and it's still early in the second half when you're running on third down and it's a good distance.
Yeah, third and medium, right? Like third and six, seven.
that's not giving me much confidence that you're actually trying to go out there and come out on top in this game. And so it goes to the idea of, all right, the game against Alabama, we're going into it, and we know from a talent level, we're definitely not better than them. And from a schematic standpoint, we're probably not going to be able to out-scheme Nick Saban. So, all right, we'll go ahead and put a little bit more focus on a team that we think we can beat, our next opponent, Arkansas. And so that's what I was at least hoping for, was it's like, well, maybe they didn't try against Alabama because they're preparing
for
Arkansas.
Maybe that is what they did. And he's not going to say, oh, yeah, we actually didn't prep for Alabama. We prepped for Arkansas. He's not going
to
say that.
No, and I'm not expecting him to say that. But then once you go out and you say, yeah, we haven't really prepared for Arkansas, if any.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that in the moment. Now, if you go out and get rolled by Arkansas, that comment is going to 100% come back to bite him. 100%. People will use that as, well, maybe instead of working on yourselves, you should have worked on Arkansas because you just got stomped by Arkansas. It'll absolutely come back to bite him. Jeremy Pruitt also gave some updates. Apparently, Bryce Thompson has been playing through a torn pectoral muscle that is healing on its own. Thompson has elected to play through it. Kind of a beast move, really. And Jeremy Pruitt also said that this week is basically a fall camp mode for his team. Getting back to the basics, the fundamentals, and I don't know if I would consider that a good thing or a bad thing. They have continued the, I don't know, I think they may have done it on Monday night, the youngster scrimmage. I don't know if people necessarily want to hear this, but Brian Maurer allegedly went in and threw two quick interceptions and got yanked. They think Harrison Bailey's getting better and better, but at this point it does still appear that JG is ahead of Bailey, who's making strides to be the number two. At this point, it appears that JT Shrout might be done at Tennessee for this season and maybe ever. But that's a problem. If you are trying to get Maurer some reps in practice and he's not going against the first team defense and he's throwing it to the other team, that's a problem. It's a big problem.
Right now, Arkansas is third among Power 5 teams in forced turnovers. And we were talking about it during
what did
the
he
break.
Have, they had six against Mississippi State?
It might have been more. I know it was Mississippi.
It was Ole Miss, yeah. Matt Corral threw six interceptions.
Six interceptions.
And
I don't know
may have had a fumble in there, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's kind of been Tennessee's problem. It's not so much as the team is forcing the turnovers. We're just giving them the ball.
Yeah, I mean, the Kentucky game, for example, I mean, Ty Chandler and Jarrett Garantano run into each other. That's not a forced turnover.
The only turnover I can think of that's an actual turnover was the Eric Gray fumble to open the Alabama game. And even then, it was kind of a weak strip. He probably should have hung on to it.
Yeah, he didn't need to fumble that. And then, obviously, the ones against Georgia, I mean, Garantano was getting hit. The pick was not necessarily forced. There was a guy coming off the edge, but it's not like, well, maybe he was getting hit as he threw it. I'm not sure. He probably should have just dirted that one. Just throw it away. But, yeah, I mean, that's going to be... I don't know what Arkansas's fan capacity is, but a night game in Fayetteville has not typically been kind to Tennessee over the years. It's going to be a tough environment against a team that I think has found some confidence in their new head coach and the new coordinators.
Well, I mean, in the most recent conference power rankings on ESPN, we talked about it last night, Arkansas is the fifth team in the SEC in terms of rankings by ESPN. And, I mean, they don't have one of the better records, but being top
five
in the SEC.
They should have a lot better record.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget, I don't want to say similarly to Tennessee, but they hung in there with Georgia for a little bit, had an early lead on Georgia until they benched DeJuan Mathis and brought in Stetson Bennett. Like, they've hung with everybody. They had Auburn beat, if not for a terrible no-call on a backward spike that should have been a fumble and was
Auburn
recovered by Arkansas.
Yeah, Auburn has just been getting all the help in the world.
Which is really weird. Like, those are the kind of plays you would expect to see Alabama get calls for. But yet Auburn, somehow the lucky golden child of the SEC officials so far. Meanwhile, Lane Kiffin retweets a comment about the officiating and now owes the SEC $25,000. Brutal. Just brutal. Love it when they do that. Yeah, we messed up. But you telling us we messed up was uncalled for. Please give us $25,000.
You can't be mean.
Yeah, you can't be mean. He didn't even say anything. He just retweeted a comment.
I was looking up SEC StatCat, and I got a Optimism Tuesday type stat for you here. The SEC's most successful rushers in goal-to-go situations entering week 6 with a minimum of 4 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think's number one?
Jared Garantano?
No, it's Najee Harris.
Oh, okay. That 80, makes sense.
80%. But number two is Jared Garantano, tied with Larry Roundtree at 75%.
Just as we all suspected.
75%. They're also, Colin Hill is tied with them as well.
Interesting.
So Colin Hill and Jared Garantano, two of the best rushers in the SEC.
That adds up, man. No, that makes perfect sense. Just like we all, I mean, I'll give him credit. Like last year, probably the biggest, worst play that Jared Garantano had was a quarterback sneak gone wrong at the goal line that went 100 yards the other way for a touchdown for Alabama. He's probably the best QB sneaker in Tennessee history now.
He's just making improvements.
Big strides.
Yeah.
Big strides. He's way better. It's impressive, really. Now, if he could just do that with the passing of the ball, that would be good. That'd be good. He actually, he's had a couple dual threat moments this year. I'll give him credit.
He had one great run against Alabama. He was pumping his chest. I remember sitting here.
Is that when he jumped over the guy again?
Yeah, I was screaming dual threat.
He likes to do that unnecessary hop.
I thought this one necessary? I was listening in the car. Didn't see it.
I didn't really see
it. He does like the unnecessary hop. And he jumps so high that he loses any and all momentum when he jumps. Like some guys jump and they can maintain their speed. He's like Mario. It's like you run fast and then you just jump straight up and then straight back down and then off you go again.
Yeah, he has no broad jump in him. It's straight vertical.
It's straight up. Which is, hey, if you're going to get up there, max out the jump there. Max the vertical, get over a guy, and then use your dual threat capability to pick up speed after landing. It's actually pretty smart.
I don't know. I didn't see the whole play. I just saw the camera get chaotic and then looked up and he was...
Because he jumped so high that you had to follow him up.
I guess.
Did he jump out
know.
Of the shot?
I don't know, man.
I have to go back and check the tape. We'll go to Matt on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. What do you say, Matty? Are you staying dry out there?
Trying to stay dry.
Good luck.
I hadn't left yet. I'm running a little late this morning.
You're on the Will plant.
I am. Well, guys, I don't know, man. I feel like a roller coaster of emotions with this coaching staff. You know, one day I hate them, the next day I'm trying to find whatever little bit I got left to believe, and you know, let's finish the season strong. And then the next day I'm out on them again, and I just don't think Pruitt does anything to help me, you know, get motivated. I mean, at least Butch would pump sunshine up your butt so far you had to put sunglasses on. So, I don't know. Maybe it's refreshing not having that. But I think the worrisome thing to me is, do you guys think Pruitt believes he can win out? Do you think he believes that team's that good?
No. As far as winning out?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he believes it either. I mean, because I just think when he does these vol calls and post game press conferences, I just think it starts with him, and I don't get any indication from his voice, even pregame against Alabama and Georgia, no confidence at all. All he does is brag on how good the opposing team is. You don't hear him talk about how great his team is, And I just think that's kind of part of the whole problem is, when you don't belief is everything, and work and culture and. If you don't have that triangle and the belief systems up top, everything else falls apart. Your behavior start to suffer. Doesn't matter how your skill set is. If you don't believe in what you're doing, you're just going to suck. And that seems to me the problem. I mean, I could be wrong. What do you guys think?
I don't know if he'd ever be that kind of coach. I don't know if that would ever be Jeremy Pruitt's style, is to pump his own team, even when he has, hypothetically, the best team in the conference. I don't know that he'd ever be the guy to say, yep, we're really good. We're going to go out there. I mean, are there any coaches in the SEC who talk like that?
No, I'm not. I don't think necessarily he needs to pump them up or anything. But I think just maybe a swagger, maybe is what I'm trying to lean at. Like when you come into the season, we've talked about this to nauseam. You know, like you had the best of offensive line, arguably in the country, and I would say easily in the SEC. You should have. Now to this point, obviously not, but. And you had a fifth-year quarterback. We were just assuming that the offense was going to flow. We should have had some swag, and we've had none. The guys, nobody. It's just so weird. Watch them. It's like no explosiveness. Nobody seems to care. It's kind of slow, and I just think it just trickles all the way back up to whatever this mindset of this team is. or whatever identity they're trying to find. You guys say it all the time, which they don't have one. You know, it's just, I don't think you can fix it this late in the season. You know, I just don't see how I don't see how it's possible to turn it around at this point. They're probably looking at three more losses easily, maybe four, and just looking at one guaranteed win, hopefully, against Vanderbilt. And even then, geez, who knows by that point.
I think I know where all this starts. And that's why I've been saying since Kentucky, like, it's time for a quarterback change. I think that if and I mean, just imagine you're on this team and you know that the coaches believe that Jarrett Garantano is your best option. How can you have swagger, right? Like, how can you have confidence? Like, yeah, you've seen it in short bursts when he'll make some good throws and good plays, but it's not sustainable. So I think that's really tough for not only offensive players, but defensive players as well. Like, every game, you kind of tiptoe into it, waiting on something bad to happen. And then when it does, I think all confidence is shot. I think Pruitt knows that. I just don't know that he believes there's an answer for it right now.
Yeah, and that's what's so frustrating. We've talked about trying to find I am trying to find some bright spots to finish this season out. Because, obviously, they're not going to get rid of him at the end of this year, unless we lose out, which I just think is impossible. So I'm trying to hope, and I think the only bright spot, I think Davey was saying this a couple of days ago, but it's just to put either Harrison Bailey or one of these other guys in at quarterback. That's the only thing that's going to kind of, because even if you only win two or three games, but you do it with another quarterback, mm-hmm, at least you're building for something for the future as opposed to playing Garantano every game. You know, what are you building on?
Exactly.
Because we're not trying to win anything. We're just trying to build something at this point, and we're having to start from the bottom. So, yeah, sucks, man, but we'll see.
Anything else, Matt?
No, see you.
All right, brother, be good. Stay safe out there. We'll take a quick break, come back, chew on some of Matt's comments and a couple more things that Jeremy Pruitt had to say yesterday on Vol calls and in his media availability. This is 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour number one. 3 and Out, Fan Run Radio.
I'm starting to feel better. Not about the team, just in general.
Illness-wise?
Like, illness-wise,
yeah.
Or, oh.
I don't know if I needed, like, get some caffeine in my system.
Usually helps.
I did put in a cough drop.
Being with your friends helps, too. Laughter is the best medicine. True. You should try to laugh more.
We're pretty funny guys.
I'll write some jokes for you, Davey.
I look forward to hearing those.
Do you buy the confidence thing from Matt, like, and do you blame Jeremy Pruitt for that? Like, that the team just doesn't look inspired. They don't look like they have confidence. Do they look like they're having fun?
They definitely don't look like they're having fun.
I thought they did against South Carolina. I thought they looked like they were having fun against Missouri. But losing obviously isn't fun. So I'm not surprised that the last three games they haven't exactly looked. Maybe the first half against Georgia, they looked like they were having fun.
Who is this team's leader?
You know, that's funny. I was actually going to pose that question earlier in the week, and we just never got to it. I don't know. Jeremy Pruitt raved on the leadership of the team yesterday, said they've all done a really nice job, but I don't know that there is that one voice or, you know, a couple guys. I don't know really what that's symptomatic of, right? Like,
indicative of.
Yeah, like, is it because you're just young at certain key spots? Like, I would like to think Hank T can be a leader for your defense, but him being a sophomore, and he's kind of a quiet guy. Bryce Thompson, maybe, but he's kind of been banged up. Usually you like to think on offense it's your quarterback, but again, I'll go back to, I don't think the team has a lot of confidence in the quarterback, so it's tough for him to be the rah-rah locker room speech guy when everyone's just kind of like, all right, buddy, when are you going to make your next few mistakes? Trey Smith has not had a great season thus far. Maybe that's kind of bummed him out. I don't know. I don't know who it is. I have no idea. I think that's a problem. You know, you think about the good teams just in SEC history, college football history, they usually have a few kind of dynamic leaders that you know are the heartbeat of the football team.
Or
I don't know that
don't,
we have that.
You can at least look to the coach.
In some cases, yeah.
I feel like every team that's been good or great or had like national title aspirations or anything of that nature has had like one player. You're right. Like that one, at least one player mm-hmm. who stands out from the rest of the bunch.
Well, and I think usually that one player is at least solid, and sometimes they're just so good that they become kind of the focal point of the team.
Yeah, it's like an AAU tournament. I could go and tell who is the best player on a team just based on how they walk around the gym, how they act with their team, how they do the layup line type deal, how they're prepping for the game. You can kind of just tell who the leader and the best player on the team is by their personality.
Yeah, and I think great play inspires confidence. So maybe that's not leadership, but it's maybe leading by example. So if a team has somebody who's just playing lights out, everyone else kind of wants to raise their level of play to emulate that player, to try to be like that player. Who is Tennessee's best player through five games? Like, who do you look at and say, well, at least we've got this guy. This guy's a stud. Is it Hank T?
You can't do it for the offense.
I guess if I had to for the offense, I'd probably say Josh Palmer, but it's difficult when you're a receiver and you rely on the quarterback to get you the ball, and our quarterbacks have been enigmatic at best.
Well, that's different because, I mean, like last year with Jennings, you could just have him run something very short where it was easier to get him the ball.
But he was also a vocal leader. Yeah. Like, I think you're missing Jennings a lot more off the field than on. Like, I still think Josh Palmer's good. I think Jalin Hyatt's going to be good. Like, I think the receivers have played a little bit better than most people expected, but you miss the rah-rah, in-your-face, you know, swag. I mean, Jennings was the embodiment of swagger, of confidence. For a guy who wasn't very fast, ran kind of stiff, but you give him the ball on third and seven on a short pass, like Davey said, and he's breaking eight tackles and he's gaining 30 yards, and that gets your team fired up. Tennessee, and Nate said this, and I completely agree, like nothing is easy. We don't do anything and make it look easy. Our running backs don't break tackles. We're not, you know, spin moves in the secondary to gain extra yards. Like, we kind of get what the play has, and then we go down.
Yeah, we look like the Bears offense.
Yeah, just like, there it is. It's an 8-yard pass, and we got 8 yards. There's no extra attached to this football team right now, offensively or defensively. I think that's a problem. Like, you're solid, but you lack game-breaking ability, at least thus far, pretty much all over the field. Like Ty Chandler and Eric Gray, I think they're good SEC running backs. They basically get what's blocked for them. I think the receivers can get open, but they're not going to catch it and then, you know, break a tackle or make a cut and then go 80 yards for that. Now, maybe Jalin Hyatt can become that guy. Maybe if they can get Malachi Wideman in, you'll see a guy who, oh yeah, it's a jump ball, 50-50, probably shouldn't have caught it, comes down with it anyway. There haven't been many big plays on either side of the ball for positive regarding Tennessee. You gave that confidence to Kentucky, throwing the two pick sixes and then obviously the other fumble and the other interception. You gave that confidence, the big plays to Georgia with the interception, the fumble, and the fumble return for a touchdown. Like, you've given that confidence, that swagger to other teams, but you haven't really created it for yourself. You've hit a couple of deep shots in the end zone, and those are always great. But then where's kind of the extra? Where's the special sauce right now for Tennessee football? And it feels like we're just kind of a trot along, try not to make mistakes, take what the defense gives you, and then defensively we're not causing that many turnovers.
It feels like we're playing with training wheels. It feels like we're not ready to really play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't know if that's a talent issue. Is that a coaching issue? I realized it was Alabama, but we didn't really try to blitz Mac Jones. I don't even know if he got hit in the first half. In the second half, they did it a little bit, and you hit him a couple times. You got him to you got two sacks and intentional grounding. Like, you actually started putting him on the ground a little bit, but yeah, in the first half, it was like, all right, we're gonna see what they can do if we play our base defense and rush three or four, and they carved you. So do we see a more, I don't know if I want to say risky attack on both sides of the ball moving forward, but I mean, something has to change because this obviously is not working through five games. Against the South Carolina, against the Missouri, maybe you can do it and get away with it, but then against Kentucky, like, you see the problems if you're not playing perfect.
Do the Vols have another 20-plus point loss this year?
Let's discuss that to start hour two. 3 and Out, Fan Run Radio.